and welcome to the podcast of the Believer's Bible Class, a part of the historic First Baptist Church located in downtown Dallas, Texas. Each week, we share the Bible lesson from our longtime teacher, Doug Brady. Doug is a student of the Bible who is proficient in both ancient Greek and Hebrew, which makes his explanations of Scripture all the more interesting and accurate. Professionally, Doug is an attorney, although he considers his Bible teaching as his godly profession. Our longtime teacher, Doug Brady, is out of town this weekend, so our class member and assistant teacher, Mike Norton, is filling in for Doug. Mike has a unique way of teaching the Scriptures, and today's lesson is a very good example of that. He uses pictures, Scriptures, and other multimedia material to assist in the teaching. Today, the lesson is titled, How Then Shall We Live? It's all about the new year. My introduction to this lesson is simply to sit back and have your Bible ready on your lap and get ready for a real Bible teaching experience. Here now is my good friend, class member, and assistant Believer's Bible Class teacher, Mike Norton.
We are going to have a prep course on how to handle the new year as seniors. And we've titled it, How Shall We Then Live? I stole that from Francis Schaeffer when he was here. That was his great line. And so we're going to, in fact, I have, we'll talk about that in a second. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you anoint us this morning. With your Spirit, we ask that you apply the Word to each of us according to our need. We all have different situations, and so we ask that you specifically work with each one of us specifically where we are. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I have a panel discussion, a wisdom advisory panel, and we're going to learn from them how to live in this new year, because it's a pretty wicked world. It's rough out there, and a lot of us had been discouraged in some ways, and so we want to get some encouragement from seniors that have lived the life, and they know what it takes. And so we're going to look at their wisdom today, and they're going to help us and converse with us. And now, by the way, this picture is the old city of Jerusalem. You can, the city of David, I mean, you can look over and on the left, you see the Kidron Valley going out there to the left. So kind of get an idea where you are. Now, my guests live a pretty far off. They could not be here in person. So with a lot of hard work and some technology, we were successful in getting them in a teleconferencing mode. So I'm going to introduce the panelists this morning. The first is King David. And King, we are so glad that you could be with us this morning. We're looking forward to see what you have to say.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Now, the next guest is, I was really glad that I was able to arrange him to be here. Now, Moses, you've gone through so much, and we are looking forward to what you have to share with us.
Thank you very much for letting me participate.
Well, you're welcome. And now, we couldn't get along without Apostle Peter. And Peter, it's really good that you could have that you made it.
I'm glad to be here.
In fact, it's so good to be here. I would like to put on a tabernacle for you, David, and a tabernacle for you, Moses, and a tabernacle for you, Peter. Now that's my transfiguration joke, in case y'all didn't notice.
Oh, I get it.
Well, Moses, you should have gotten it. I mean, you were there.
I don't think that was very fun.
Well, Peter, I really apologize. I mean, I should have been more sensitive. I read what happened, and frankly, it was kind of awkward. What's going on here?
This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him.
Good night. I tell you what, guys. We better get to this panel discussion before we get into trouble, okay? Now, David, I'm going to have you up first. And I'm the moderator, and I'm going to ask you a question.
Psalm 37.
Oh, my goodness. Great idea. Let's do that. Now, in your advice column, you have divided up. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like you have divided up into four sections: trust and fret not, then wicked will be punished and the righteous will be blessed, and God will end evil forever. Now, first of all, you have brought us into a discovery of a major principle. You said, do not fret because of evil doers. Now, fret, I was interested in the fact of the words you chose here. Tatar is it's a hiphiel, which is imperfect, which is it's reflexive. It is not it's not a completed action. It's a continual burning. It's to burn within you, and just really gives us anxiety. And so you said, do not do that. And so we take that to heart. And it says, be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Wow. And then you moved us into the concept of dwelling and delighting, which is fascinating, because you started out, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Now, the word cultivate is very interesting. But because it's re, it means to shepherd, and one of the things, you know, when I teach organic gardening, I talk about cultivating. I prep the soil and everything, get it ready and plant, and then I let it do its thing. But you use the word to shepherd your faith, shepherd. In other words, that is a continual working and tending to our faith, so we don't tend to wander. You know, like sheep like to wander, well, our faith does too. And so you used great wisdom in using that word. That impressed me, David. And you said, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And so we're not to delight in the things you give us, but delight in the Lord and let Him choose what He wants us to have. And that is just sheer awesome. So we're dwelling in the land, living our life, following you, walking with you, and delighting in you. Then you talked about dependence. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, because, you know, we commit, that's one thing, but trust is another dimension of it. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as a noonday. It's fascinating that you brought out the fact that our righteousness is from the Lord. It's not from us. We cannot live a righteous life. We have to get that righteousness from the Lord. He provides His righteousness. He clothes us in His righteousness. And so when we come before the Lord, we are there with His righteousness, not ours. Because He said, frankly, our righteousness is filthy rags. You know, ain't no good, okay? Now, then you reminded us the importance of discipline. Importance of discipline. Now, here's what's interesting about the way you talked about discipline. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. That's fascinating, because that's also discipline. Because You know, we're all so anxious. Lord, come back, come back, come. You know, I'm looking for you to come back. You know, especially our age, we're really looking for him to come back. Every time we get a pain in the back, oh, Lord, come quickly. And but he says, no, rest, rest. Be patient. He will come in his time. Then you said, do not fret. Again, you said, do not fret. Because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes, we look and we read the news and we think, oh man, how depressing. And so it's one after another, and we get frustrated. But be disciplined. You know, relax. Trust the Lord. And then you gave us some promise here. Some promises, very, very interesting, because you said, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Then the third time you said, do not fret. I think you want us to understand that. It leads only to evil doing, for evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. It's, you know, when we kind of fret and we get all this anxiety, we want to get even. And we'll start doing things that would be, you know, evil. And so we must relax and trust, wait on the Lord, and he will do it. And we will, of course, there's exciting aspects that we will inherit the land and be able to till it. Then he says, yet a little, and then a little while, and the wicked man will be no more, and you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. That's a promise. That's a promise. Evil will be dealt with. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Jesus brought this out in the Beatitudes. The humble will inherit the land. Now, you went on to make that a little clearer for us, so we'll truly understand the promises that you gave us. You brought out five contrasts to really embellish in our minds those promises in those verses 9 to 11. You said the wicked, number one, the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. Boy, we've seen that. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. His day is coming. And secondly, the next contrast, he said the wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. They will be caught up in their own traps. And then, thirdly, you said, better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of the wicked. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. Now, fourthly, the Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed. Now, that word ashamed is interesting because it also means that they won't be disappointed. We're not be disappointed. That's a dual meaning there. But they will not be ashamed or disappointed in the time of evil. And in the days of famine, they will have abundance. And you went on and you brought out the fact of this contrast, but the wicked will perish and the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. They're up in smoke. And fifthly, the wicked borrows and does not pay back. They're just takers. They're just takers. The righteous is gracious and gives. For those blessed by him will inherit the land. That's a promise. But those cursed by him will be cut off. Now, it's one of my favorite pictures there. It said, the steps of a man are established by the Lord. The steps, that means he's attentive to every single day, every single moment of our life. Not that he's attentive to our life, but he's attentive to every single step. Amazing. And he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong. Now, that really resonates for us seniors, okay? And I've joined the senior club now. Last week, I became 70. But because the Lord is the one who holds his hand, the Lord holds his hand, we can put our trust in that. I have been young, and now I am old. That's why we wanted to talk to you, David. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread. Wow.
I should know. I fed 5,000 of them at one time.
Peter, that was really cute. Hold on. Your time's coming pretty soon. Hold on. But now, David, I would like for you to share with us, kind of summarize, recap your main points, the points that you want us to understand from your advice column.
Well, first, the righteous are not to be anxious about the wicked, but should have faith and trust in the Lord.
Oh, that's huge.
Secondly, the wicked will be dealt with by the Lord in his timing.
Spot on.
Well, lastly, the righteous should display the joy of the Lord in all circumstances.
Wow. That is so good. Thank you, David, that you brought this out to us. This really is important, and I pray that we can remember this.
Thanks. It's my pleasure. Glad to do it.
Okay. now, guys, I want to hear from Moses now. I'm looking forward to Moses, what you have to say. Since you're a man of prayer, I'm going to ask you a little bit different question. My question to you is, what should we pray for as we face a new year in this wicked, wicked world? So I'm bringing the microphone up to you and share with us your response to this question.
Look at my prayer requests in my devotional column in Psalm 90.
Ah, that's a great idea. Well, let's take a look at that. Now, in your devotion, you divided this up into two sections, man's brevity and God's compassion. Well, I want to go right to God's compassion here so we can see what we are to ask for in this new year. And you have seven major petitions for a victorious life leading to an intimate relationship with the Lord. And we want to examine those. These are really, really helpful. Now, number one, so teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Now, the word teach is hodah. No, it's in the causative form, to cause to know. That all the things, you know, as the word is brought to us and experiences we have in life, we are to, we're caused to understand as we number our days. We understand the brevity of life, and we understand the importance of this walk, and the Lord understands that too, and he is going to fulfill his goal in the short period of time that we have here on earth. And so, as a result, we will present a heart of wisdom. Now, wisdom is a great word. It is a chokmah. It is the successful living. It is living very, very effectuously, okay? Very important. And then the next petition you asked for in this column, he said, do return, O Lord. How long will it be? Now, Moses, you were always looking for a fellowship to be restored after they had fallen away. But we are looking more from a different standpoint. We're looking for the actual second coming. We are looking for his return from that aspect. That's very, very important to us. And then it says, and be sorry for your servants. In other words, I see, I understand this, meaning to be compassionate to the situation we're in. Now, we're fortunate because Jesus walked this earth, went through everything we went through. He understands the temptations and the struggles we have, and that's why we have a sympathetic high priest that understands and sympathizes with our ever concern. And then, fourthly, your request was, oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness. And we looked at loving kindness several times, is hesed, which is loyal love. You are totally committed. You're loyal to us. That we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. And it's interesting you said, satisfy us in the morning. Not after the end of the day and we saw we had a good day. Satisfy us from the get-go. When we get up in the morning, we are satisfied. We know we're going to walk with you a whole day and enjoy your itinerary for us that day, and you'll use us. That's huge. That's exciting. And then the fifth, you said, make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years we have seen evil. We love a balance. We love a balance. We would love to see some good days to balance out the tough times we've seen. And let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. In other words, Moses, we want the Lord to make clear to us his working so we can thank him. I asked the Lord, show me what you're doing so I don't miss it, so I can praise your name for it, because we can go along and be oblivious to that. Oh, aren't we fortunate? Oh, isn't this nice? But it was a gift of God. He orchestrated that for us. Amazing. He is attentive to every step. So we want his work to be seen and be visible. And we want our children to understand the same thing. We wanted to continue on. And lastly, your seventh request, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Oh, yes. And confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. And we want the Lord to confirm that we are in his will, that our work is his work, whatever we're doing. And we all have different responsibilities, but we want to know and be confirmed that we are serving him, whatever we're doing. That is so important. And Moses, I would like you to, in your own words, to list off these seven requests in your own words so we can get a handle on it, so we will remember to pray for each one of these things in this new year.
First of all, pray for God's wisdom living. Secondly, pray for his soon return. Third, pray for awareness of God's love. Fourth, pray for joy in life. Fifth, pray for good days to replace evil ones. Sixth, pray that God will make his work observable. And number seven, pray for affirmation of our work for him.
Wow. Thank you, Moses. That is profound. All those requests, they so resonate with us. Thank you, Moses.
Thank you. It's my privilege.
Now, Peter, it's your turn. Now, we're anxious to hear what you have to say. And I'm going to tailor my question a little different to you, Peter. I'd like to ask, what character trait should we develop as we go into the new year in this wicked world? That is something that we still can develop. So We would like to hear your response to this.
I addressed that very subject in my second letter.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a look at your second letter then. Now, you have in 2 Peter 1, you have divided up into two sections. The first 11 verses, you have the work of God in our heart. And then the second half, the nourishment of the Word on our heart. So we have two things. God's working on our heart and your Word. God's Word is working in our heart. And so this is very, very interesting. And it's a great chapter. Now, we got a beautiful family here. Isn't this a beautiful family? Wish all families were just this beautiful. But you said, grace and peace and be multiplied to you in knowledge of God, of Jesus, our Lord. Okay? Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Okay, we have the divine power, of course, comes from the Holy Spirit, and the true knowledge comes from His Word, gnosko, epigenosko. So we have the power of the Holy Spirit and His Word working together, and then we have all we need to walk a holy life. And He says, for by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world by lust. So we have His precious and magnificent promises. Those promises. There are 7,000 promises in the Word, in the Bible. 7,000 promises that have been designed and apportioned to us. It'll take a lifetime to learn them all. And so as a result, we can be partakers of the divine nature when we let those promises emulate in our heart. And it just changes our attitude. And it just really, really comes forth in our countenance. But also there's a diligence that goes along with that too. It says, now for this very reason also applying all diligence. Wow, all diligence in your faith. Faith is very, very important. We can't do we can't obey God. We can't do anything for God without faith and the power of the Holy Spirit. But your faith supplies moral excellence. And your moral excellence brings about knowledge, and knowledge brings self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and then, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness. It's interesting, you can't have brotherly kindness without godliness. Brotherly kindness, love. It started out with faith, was from within, and then it gradually worked in each layer out toward the out, and it's being manifest in love. So it starts with faith and then works out and is manifest in love. That's how it happens. That's the process. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way that we can be useful to the Lord and we can be fruitful, is have all these qualities begin to grow and become a part of us, and we will take on that nature. Wow. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted. We can't see. We can't understand life. Having forgotten his purification from his former sins. A lot of people forget the magnitude of our salvation. We don't meditate on that, how wonderful it is, and we become short-sighted. We can't enjoy the rest of our walk with the Lord. Now, this guy, like he's looking. He says, you follow me? Well, he says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Make sure you understand the importance of that. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. And if I were in that situation, I definitely wouldn't want to stumble. It says, for in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. In other words, those are the rewards. When we walk, you know, there'll be some that'll just get there by the skin of their teeth. You know, they've had their salvation, but they haven't served the Lord. And they'll be saved as through fire. There'll be wood, hay, and stubble be burned up. But if we practice these things and God does great things through us, we will have the gold, silver, and precious stones, and we will have many, many blessings in our reward at the Bema Seat. So, Peter, we'd like you to remind us and summarize your key points that you want us to remember.
First of all, depend on God's power and his promises. Next, continually walk with him by faith. Finally, let his character be reflected through your life to others.
Wow. Thank you, Peter. This is so greatly important.
Thank you.
All righty. Now, why don't y'all give these guys a hand? Didn't they do a good job? Okay, what's going on here? Oh, my goodness.
This is King Solomon. Why didn't you ask me to be in the panel? God gave me great wisdom, remember?
Yeah, I remember. But, you know, I thought you were just really too busy. But I did read your tweet. Your tweet was great. I mean, you tweet a lot, but the tweet you sent me, hey, can I share that with the class?
Go right ahead.
All right. This is great. I want you to see this. If the axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. More strength. Wow. Wisdom has the advantage of giving success. That is a powerful, powerful tweet. Don't you agree? Wow. 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 Yeah. Anything? Is there anything else?
I would like to say one more thing. These three great senior men of God have explained very well how you are to sharpen your axe. David explained why you can trust the Lord. And Moses showed you what to pray. And also, Peter focused on how you develop a godly character.
Wow. You summarize it quite well, King Solomon. The why, the what, and the how. And our prayer is that we will exhibit these things in our life. Thank you so much, King Solomon.
Thank you very much.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so amazed at how you've given us so much information through your word. And if we just examine it and spend time in it, we can learn so much of you. And we thank you for these men of God that you used to put your word to pen and paper. And we want to really, really remember these principles by the power of your Holy Spirit so we can be effectuous in what you want us to accomplish. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.